his granddaughter's athletic games and school events, and spend time with Jeannie, of course. He also likes to read and learn about the Civil War. He calls Gettysburg his happy place. And he's very passionate about Penn State sports. I'm sure he has that in common with several of you. He and Jeannie like going to football and hockey games. Tom and Amy McMahon started coming to Stone a little more than a year ago. They live in McConnellstown, and Tom has done auto body work for over 40 years and currently works at Luciano's Collision Center. He enjoys hunting and spending time with his family. Amy was a hairstylist for 22 years, but decided to try something new. So she started to work at the courthouse 2 years ago. She enjoys animals, volunteering at the Humane Society, and spending time with family. Matt Rohrbaugh and his wife Rebecca, there's Matt, and his wife Rebecca and their two kids, Sally and Tavy, moved to Huntingdon in 2020. He works at Huntingdon County Court of Common Pleas as the President Judge's law clerk. He enjoys public service and volunteering. He's currently a volunteer firefighter with the Huntingdon Regional Fire Rescue and serves on the Board of Trustees for Stone Valley Community Charter School. His kids keep him busy. But when he does have a chance to slow down, he enjoys reading, going for walks, or getting into various projects around the house. Friends, thank you so much for letting me share a bit about you. You have wonderful gifts and graces to share, and we all look forward to learning more. And so now I offer you these vows. Knowing that Christians never fully arrive, but are always in the process of becoming, do you now reaffirm your faith in Jesus as revealer of God's love and purpose in the world? As you unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, and faithful stewardship? Do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain? Let us stand as you are able to join together in our litany of commitment to God, to each other, and to these ones who've made commitments today. We as a congregation renew our promises to God to live faithfully and abundantly, continuing to learn and grow. We renew our promises to each other to be the body of Christ together, surrounding one another with love and encouragement. We commit to you, Paul, Jim, Matthew, Amy, Tom, Gail, and Madison. We promise to our help, our prayers, and our concerns, so that we may all increase in knowledge and love of God and each other. We celebrate with you, Gavin, grateful for the commitments you make today. With hope, we choose to invest in you so that you will continue to grow strong in compassion, vigorous in service, and sure in the way of Christ. May God's blessing be on all who have made new and renewed commitments today, remembering that we belong to each other and to God. May we be strengthened to continue to follow Jesus wherever he leads. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, Stone Church community. I'm Becca Ford, and I'm representing your newly minted community building team. Recently, during services, we have been exploring the theme of stewardship. We have considered stewardship of time, privilege, and work. This week, we are pondering stewardship of community. How do we steward our social capital? In what ways can we each contribute to community? How do we care for the contributions we might make? How do we best show each other love? Before I continue, I want to pause and do something together. I want to take a minute for each of us to turn to a person around us in the pews and offer them this prompt. Tell me something that made you smile today. Be sure you both have time to share. Go ahead. Great job, everyone. Let's gather back together. So I may have tricked you into an act of stewardship. The time you just spent listening to and sharing with your neighbor is a way that we can show each other love. It is a way we can steward our community. You can contribute to our community by offering a listening ear or being open to sharing your own stories. You can also steward our community by supporting your community building team. We are a new team, so our vision and goals are continuously developing. This makes it all the more important that you support us in ways that go beyond pledging to the church. You can let us know what community means to you. Fill us in on ideas you have for ways to connect with each other or attend church events and engage with each other in relationship. And we're serious about the feedback and ideas about community. The team is currently composed of myself, Chuck Yon, and Brooke Meadows. Please feel free to find any of us to chat about what community means to you and ideas you may have for ways to connect. We are excited to support the rich Stone Church community in our roles as your community building team. We can't wait to continue stewarding our community alongside you.
The wood pile is around back, he said. Start chopping. I don't know what exactly Reagan had expected when Terry had offered to help her build relationships with the tribe, but this was decidedly not it. The show is called Rutherford Falls. It's set in the fictional town of Rutherford Falls, set in upstate New York, a community that includes the reservation that is home to the fictional Minnetonka tribe. Reagan is part of the tribe, though her relationships within it are somewhat complicated. She was engaged to the son of one of the tribe's elders and may have left him standing at the altar in order to explore the wider world and pursue her education. But now she's back with visions of creating a museum, a Minnishanka Cultural Center. But most of the tribe will have little to do with her, except for Terry, one of the leaders of the tribe. He takes Reagan under his wing and says he'll set up meetings together with various members of the tribe's council to work on repairing and building the relationship. When they get to the first house, Reagan has her speech all prepared. She starts to head into the house together with Terry and the elder when Terry stops her. The wood pile is around back, he says. Start chopping. Over the course of this series, we've been reflecting on the ways that we are called to be stewards, to care for that which has been entrusted to us so that those resources might do what they were intended to do. We often think of stewardship in terms of financial resources, but as we've discovered week after week, it's really about so much more. Robert Putnam was a sociologist who developed the idea of social capital. These are the social connections, the relationships we invest in. And since the time and energy we put into those relationships is a finite resource, we all make choices which relationships we commit to and how much, where we spend our social capital. Another sociologist, Mark Dunkelman, explored the ways those investments have shifted over time. He describes three different rings of relationships. Our inner ring relationships are fewer but deeper, family and a few close friends, our closest colleagues and coworkers, maybe. We have more outer ring relationships, acquaintances, maybe people you share a hobby with or whose kids play soccer with your kids. Maybe that includes people you connect with over social media. Then in between these two inner and outer rings, there's a third middle ring that Dunkelman describes. These are the people with whom we are familiar and connected, even if not as intimately so as in the inner ring. Other coworkers, fellow students, neighbors, church families. It's these middle ring relationships, they suggest, that traditionally shaped the fabric of our society, knitting us together. Now, here's the thing. Both Putnam and Dunkelman and others have noted the ways that our investment of our social capital has shifted over time. It's not a new dynamic, though it's certainly been accelerated by recent trends. John Vest puts it like this. He says, the rise of the automobile, suburban sprawl, telephones, radio, and television, even before the advent of the internet and mobile phones, have made it easier and easier to invest in relationships of choice rather than relationships of proximity. No longer limited to connections with the people who are near to us, we have as a society, by and large, divested of the middle ring relationships, investing our time and energy instead in outer and inner ring relationships. We've moved into what Vest calls a state of networked individualism. And it can come with a cost. These middle ring communities, these connections we have lost, were the fabric that tied us together. We end up in these generational and ideological silos when we neglect them, increasingly disconnected and polarized. Our scripture today reminds us why these middle ring communities, and specifically why the church matters, why this community matters. Because these relationships invite us into a different way of being together. This is the community that transforms. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. We invest in this community as an act of faith. Because these people around us invite us to hate what is evil and hold on tight to what is good. These are the people who remind us to love not just each other, but all those who bear the image of God, to love them like members of our own family. This is the community that pushes us to feed even our enemies, that reminds us that evil is not overcome with evil, that reminds us to overcome evil with good. These are the people in whom we find the strength and hope and grace to carry on. And if we're honest, there aren't a lot of communities like that in the world. These are the promises we make to one another, not because we know what the future holds, but precisely because we do not. So we make these promises about who we want to be and who we want to be with, together with those who weep with us when we grieve and rejoice with us in moments of celebration, the proverbial village helping raise our children, generations all together. That's why we invest our social capital here with one another. It's an act of faith, an investment over the long haul, because the reality is it's these little investments over time that build these relationships that really matter. The wood pile is around back, he said. Start chopping. What? Reagan exclaimed. I thought you set up these meetings so we could talk to each other, so I could, you know, apologize and get their support for the museum. I said we were working to build relationships, Terry told her. But chopping wood? Do you know how much wood I've chopped? Terry replies. How many cars I've washed, how many cookies I've baked, how many people I've helped move. This is part of the work. This is how we build and repair relationships. What follows is a montage of Reagan visiting neighbors and chopping wood, washing cars, caulking a bathroom, calling bingo for the seniors at the senior center, and sitting in on one very awkward conversation as her ex-fiance's mother talks to Terry in front of her about the pain of that wedding day when the bride never showed up. And at the end of it all, there is a new beginning. Because it was never really about the wood. Instead, each of these small acts are an investment in a relationship. Because relationships with close friends, with colleagues and coworkers, with a church family, relationships aren't actually made up of one or two big memorable moments. Instead, it's the thousands of little moments, caring, investing in each other week after week over the years. Those are what make the relationships that count. So keep on chopping wood, a little bit at a time. Together creating the fabric of this community that changes lives, including your own. Amen.
God of creation, maker of all things, we gather to pray. Come and be among us. Come and build us into your church. As we celebrate the commitments of Gavin, Madison, Amy, Tom, Paul, Jim, and Gail, as well as the promises of this family of faith, to keep following you and to keep investing in one another. We celebrate that Eli is home from the hospital and doing better, even as we continue to hold his parents, Aaron and Kim, big brother Lyndon, and his grandparents, Lauren and Donna, tenderly. We are also grateful that Dale is home again after receiving a pacemaker, and we pray that he continues to heal well. We're so glad that he's even able to be with us here today. We pray alongside Tavy, who prays to have Jesus always in her heart. And God, as we try to do what at times seems like a chore, do not lag, do not curse, do not be haughty, do not repay, never avenge, as we try to, quote, chop wood and carry water, help us remember that our minds and hearts are being continually renewed by you, so that chop wood, carry water transforms into opportunities to hold fast, to love, to serve, to persevere, to bless, to be able to overcome evil with good. God of creation, maker of all things, come and be among us now as we pray. Build us into your church as we pray in our human frailty. Hear our prayers for Steve's daughter Heather, who is battling illness, for Jeremy, who wasn't able to be here today because he's in urgent care, for a member of our Stone Church family who is supporting a coworker, and for the family of that coworker who lost a close family member to suicide this week. Bring your comfort and mercy, Lord. We pray for Harriet as she deals with pain management, for Carol and her sister Myra as they grieve the sudden death of Myra's husband, David. Hold all of them close, Lord. Hear our prayers for Julie, sister-in-law to Bob and Rebecca, struggling with a return of GI issues. May she find a relief for her pain. For Marion, a friend of Steve's who had a fall. For Drew, as he is waiting for next steps. And for Patty, may new treatment continue to bring relief for her. For Kim and her family as they care for her mom. Come and hear us as we pray for all those in our community who are living with cancer and cancer treatments. We pray especially for Jennifer, who has metastatic cancer and who also lost her mom this week. We pray for those on the long, exhausting, sometimes painful road, for Janice's neighbor Linda, for Samantha, Kim, Jody, Chris's friend Pam, Brenda's niece Jennifer, Gail's nephew Calvin, Patty's mom Lucy, Jeremy's father, and for Chris. Hear our prayers for Gail, who is traveling to Ohio this week. Thank you for the gift that she is able to go back and forth to spend time with family. God of all creation, come and be among us now, we pray. Build your church with love unceasing, reaching out across the chasms, bringing walls of hatred down. We pray for people caught in the devastation of violence, for those in Israel and Gaza, for the many around the world who are feeling the chaos there like a shockwave in their own lives, for those in Ukraine, for churches and communities in Nigeria. Teach us peace of heart and mind, peace with you and all your children. Please, God, come and build your church with Jesus as the sure foundation and each of us united with one another, committed, invested. Build your church in us. Thank you.
Friends, keep on chopping wood. Invest in one another, being transformed and together creating a community that transforms the world. Amen.
That was really great.
It's always nice to join with you guys in this way and get to connect with you a little better than on a normal Sunday.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. The antibiotics started yesterday, and I'm already worlds better than I was.
Wonderful.
The doctor looked at me and said, you know, it's not, you know, a particular diagnosis, but you don't look good. And so,
that's helpful.
That was helpful. Then she did some other tests and came up with a diagnosis. But started with you.
Well, you didn't cough, so that's good.
That's good. Not during. I muted as soon as I was done, and that's when the coughing happened.
You know, hot lemonade or hot peppermint tea with honey is really helpful when you're sick. Bronchial.
He's got some just off to the side here. Yeah.
Self-control.
That's right.